Welcome back, everybody, to our Monday night series on Tefillah, where we are going to go and try and attack the Shemona Esrei to the best of our abilities to better understand what it is that we're interacting with, what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Before we begin, tonight's shiur is sponsored by Susan Cohn on the yahrzeit of her mother, Esther Hindelbas Meyer Ozer. Aleha Shalom, the neshama should have an aliyah. It should be good things for the family. And only Simcha, we thank you so much for the sponsorship. And really, this is just, again, to start out this year, I need to start it the same way I started last week, by thanking all of you because, first of all, not easy to come out at night, no matter what's happening in everyone's lives. Number two is because I get to prepare this series, it's an amazing opportunity for me to learn more about Tefillah, which again, I interact with on a very real way, just like all of you do, as we go and daven every single day. Now, just one thing to discuss with the crew here, so I was looking at what our four parts are. Last week, we really delved deep into the first three brachos, discussing that Hashem does not need our praise. We're not trying to butter up God in order to go ahead and get on his good side before we can go and ask for things. God tolerates our praise, but it's for us to be able to recognize what we're about to interact with and who we are about to talk to. It gives us the opportunity to kind of regain our focus and to put ourselves in the right perspective. That's how we started. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Bakashos. Next week was supposed to be Hodah. And then the week after that was supposed to be staying connected to Tefillah all day. I want to kind of shift that. And I want to take 2 weeks to go through the Bakashos. Because as I was going through, there's just too much to say. There's too much to do in terms of the Bakashos, which we get to every single day. We could talk another time about staying connected to Tefillah all the time. You should stay connected. There you go. That's the whole shiur. Now, we need to make sure, though, to understand each thing and each bracha, what it's trying to tell us and what we're supposed to gain from it. Because, again, sometimes we are going to be able to focus more than others. Now I can put the phone down. Sometimes we are going to be able to focus more than others, but it's so crucial that when we do have the ability to focus that we actually can try to figure out what it is that we are trying to connect to. So what I want to start with tonight is kind of just frame the discussion, kind of understand what the Anshei Knesset HaGdol were trying to accomplish when they made our Shemona Esrei and the middle brachos specifically, which is what we're talking about tonight. And then we'll start getting into the actual brachos, the specifics of each bracha. And tonight maybe we'll start with the reason why I put this source sheet, if we can call it that. It's a little offensive to call this a source sheet, but it's really a reference sheet, we'll call it. Is what we're going to try to do is just this way we can talk in terms of numbers of brachos. So tonight we're going to try to cover 4, 5, 6, and 7, all really important brachos and all things, again, that we interact with every single day. So again, just to frame the discussion, you know, Rav Hirsch has this whole intro where he talks about these brachos and he talks about these middle brachos and he says, Shemona Esrei, we know, is patterned after the korbanos. And it's not just, oh, we used to have korbanos and now we have tefillah. It's deeper than that. The Anshei Knesset HaGdol, we have to remember who the people were who wrote the Shemona Esrei, who set forth the text that we interact with, again, every single day. These were 120 of our greatest people who have ever lived. Many Nevi'im, Mordechai, from the Purim story coming up, we know him. He's on the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. These are serious, serious people in our history. They knew what they were doing. It's not just a replacement. Oh, cute, we had a korban, now we have tefillah. Rather, there's something that it's trying to do with us and trying kind of to take the place of a korban, just like we had korbanos, and we read through the parshios in Vayikra, there are so many parshios talking about all of the details of the korbanos. Tefillah is there and supposed to accomplish very similar types of things. Now we can go into that, maybe that will be the fifth part of another time, whatever it may be. But there's a lot there, and we truly have to be able to appreciate that. Even though they did live at the end of Bayis Sheni, which means that they did have some overlap between the time that the Shemona Esrei was there and that the Beis HaMikdash was up, still we have to understand again what was happening at that time, and that maybe they did have some more insight than maybe we give them credit for. And by we, I mean myself, because sometimes I don't feel what I feel like I'm supposed to feel when I'm saying Shemona Esrei. And again, the more we know about something, the more we can go ahead and appreciate that, just like anything else in life. So if we look at the one source on this thing, aside from the reference, we'll find something very interesting, again, to frame our discussion. It says the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis Min Aleph, Darash Rav Simlai. Rav Simlai taught, Li Olam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Achar Kach Yispal. That really what you're supposed to do is set aside yourself and your mindset in terms of the praises of Hashem, organize your thoughts in terms of the prayer and the praise of Hashem, and then achar kach, after that, you should yispalo. Yispalo, we know, means daven. So, what is this Gemara teaching us? which part is actually davening. When we say we're davening, what would we think that that means? Right? We would think davening is when we say Akel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanora, that God is amazing, God is awesome, God is everything to us. But that part's not the tefillah. That part is Yisader Adam Shvacho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam tells us this as well. If you look at the whole reference thing, where there are three parts to Shmona Esrei as we reference. There's the introductory brachos that we spoke about last week. There are the bakashos, which is what we're interacting with right now. And then there's the hodah, which we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. Now, it's really strange that that's even called hodah, because only one out of the three brachos are called hodah, or are really referencing hodah. Hamachazir Shechina Sol Etzion is talking about us getting the ability to see the Beis HaMikdash in action, to gain the inspiration from the Beis HaMikdash, and HaMevarich Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, talking about peace. It's not thanking. HaTov Shem Chol Chanel Odos and Modim, granted, a lot of thank yous going on over there. So we're going to have to understand why that whole section is called Hodah, if it's really only one out of the three final brachos. Sorry. So this, again, what does this mean for Yispalel? So we have three sections. We have the Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodah. So what you're supposed to do, says the Gemara and the Rambam, you start out by organizing all the praise of God, and then you are Mispalel, then you daven, which means that davening is our Bakashos. We might have thought, again, praising God, that's what's the most important, and we happen to go and ask for things because, okay, yeah, we go and ask for things, but no. Rav Soloveitchik points out that asking for things is the main part of tefillah. That's the most important part of what we're trying to do. Just like a parent loves when a kid comes and asks for things, I guess to a certain point, but when a parent loves when kids come and ask for things, that's what Hashem wants from us, just to include Him in our lives. As we pointed out last week, I think from Rabbi Neuberger, that when you have something that's on your mind, that you're struggling with, that's bothering you, you have a midterm, you have a work meeting, you have a this, you have whatever it may be, and it's just on your mind, you can't stop thinking about it, it's bothering your tefillah, the answer, the quick fix, is guide your tefillah towards that. Hashem, help me with that test. Help me with that meeting. Help me with whatever it is that I'm struggling with. Help me through that nisayon. And now you've transformed that difficulty in your life into something positive. You've uplifted everything around you. Something which we certainly need to think about. Now, in terms of the structure, so we know, again, we have Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei means 18. And how many brachos are there? 19. Because what was added? Valam al Shinim was added. So where was Valam al Shinim added? Between 11 and 12, I didn't even put it on the sheet. Because I want to go through the initial Shmona Esrei that was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So there are 18 brachos, which means if we have three in the beginning and three at the end, how many are there in the middle? There are 12 bakashos. Now, it's also very interesting to think that there are certain things that we don't just take as coincidences. Right? That's a mulik. A mulik is all about ki kare, that it happens to be all one big coincidence. Oh, really? That had, we believe that there's a purpose to things, especially when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, as we started with, these Nevi'im were doing them. So it's very interesting that there are these 12, maybe 13 brachos of Shmona Esrei in terms of bakashos. There are also 12, maybe 13 shvatim, right? We have 12 shvatim, but then Ephraim and Menashe, Kibanim Tiuli, 12, maybe 13. Where else do we have this? Months of the year. There's 12. Adar Sheni. 12, maybe 13. There's something to this, right? There's the amount of brachos and how it was instituted. There's a lot there, and there's so much depth into every single element. There is so much to discuss. But when looking at these bakashos, it's so important to think to ourselves, and again, just to frame the discussion, if I had 12 requests from God, you had that magic genie, whatever it is, and you get 12 requests, it's important to think to yourself, and something I think about a lot, how many of my requests would be the same as the requests that are being asked in the Shmona Esrei? And if that answer is not exactly similar and aligned, so whose problem is that? Is that because I really know better than the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Or maybe they had some sort of insight that we're missing. And by we, I mean me. Because I can admit, can't speak for anybody else, I wouldn't necessarily go and plan this the way that I was supposed to. That's not what I would do. Now, it's important to remember, just like apparently after you drive a car for a long time, the wheels get misaligned. Is that true? That's what someone's telling me. Whatever. We need to realign our priorities and our values. We need to realign ourselves constantly, which is why we're repeating the Shmona Esrei so often, three times per day, Shachris, Mincha, Marv, this is why we continuously use the same language and we use the same brachos over and over again, because life comes and we get veered in all different directions. There are so many different things happening, and the Shemoneh Esrei is there to put us back on track, to remind us what's truly important, to remind us what we're supposed to be interacting with and what we want. Apparently, Rabbi Nachman says that we are what we desire. Think about it. We are what we desire. Life circumstance sometimes dictates what we are and are not able to have. But what our she'ifas are, what we're hoping for, what we're yearning for, what we're desiring, that defines who we are. So again, these 12 bakashos, we need to analyze them. Because if we look, let's try to make some sort of patterns here between brachos 4 through 15. Anything jump out at anybody? If we look at these brachos that we say every single day, so there's 12, maybe 13, as we pointed out. There seem to be different themes of these brachos. Yeah, that's here? No. So some things jump out when you just kind of look. And I didn't really do this until I started preparing this, because I just take it as, okay, these are the bakashos we say in Shemoneh Esrei. But if we look at 4 through 9, seem to be very different than 10 through 15. Starting with Das, and then Tshuva, and then Slicha, and then Re'eva Anyenu, and then Refua and Parnasa, those are all individual, right? Personal type of requests. Whereas 10 to 15, those seem to be more national types of requests. Again, interesting. If we had 12 questions, 12 requests of God, would 6 of them be for the entire nation? Honestly, if I'm telling you the truth, no offense to anybody here, because we're all part of the same nation. No offense to anybody here. I'd probably have one throw-in bracha there, just so I wasn't like such a bad guy. You know, it'd be pretty awkward if I had 12 brachos just about myself. If I, you know, I hope everyone does great. Again, we daven for everybody, all individuals. But nationally, there are 6 of the brachos. Now let's break it down even further. If we break it down even further, we'll find something even more interesting. So if you look, 4, 5, and 6... even within the individual requests, seem to be very different than 7, 8, and 9. Why? 4, 5, and 6 are more spiritual, right? We're more connecting to God. Das, we want to know Torah. We want to know how we're supposed to interact with the world. Tshuva, that's a God thing. Slicha, that's a God thing. And then we go from there to Re'eva Anyenu, which we're hopefully going to discuss tonight, which is more not of a national type of goal that we're asking for. Even though we're saying Goel Yisrael, that God redeems us, we're not talking about the Mashiach over there. What we're talking about is God redeems us from our daily stresses. Once I saw that, that totally changed that bracha for me. It's our daily grind that Hashem is there to protect us from. All the machloikas and all the anything else that's happening in our lives, that's what that bracha is from. So that bracha now starts to get into more of the physical. Health, we know, is everything. And then parnasa, also in the physical. So it starts out, we have the individual needs, starting with the spiritual 3 brachos, and then the physical 3 brachos. And then let's look at 10 through 15. 10 through 15, we seem to be able to divide it up as well. 10, 11, and 12. Kibbutz Golios, the actual judgment system, the judicial system, and the reward for the tzaddikim, that's more national, obviously, but on the physical realm. National, physical. As opposed to the last 3 brachos of Uvnei Yerushalayim, rebuilding Yerushalayim, we're hoping for the Beis HaMikdash, somewhat, maybe, perhaps. Rebuilding Yerushalayim. Then Mashiach, which Chazal teaches us, is going to be our greatest teacher. Big machlokas, whether it's Eliyahu or Navi. There's actually a fascinating machlokas, because we know in the Gemara, there's this concept of teku. Anyone hear of teku? Teku means tishbi yataritz kushios v'yibayos, which means that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. Anytime we don't know the answer to the question, leave it for Eliyahu HaNavi. He's going to come and do it. How is that allowed to happen? Because we have a concept in halacha called lo bashamayim hi. That even if there's a bas kol that comes out and says, you're supposed to do this, this, and that. If Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva against that, we'd probably go with Rav Moshe. But there's a bas kol, a heavenly voice. The answer is Torah lo bashamayim hi. We interact with the Torah in our way, in our world. So there's a big machlokas who Eliyahu HaNavi is and what he's really all about. If Eliyahu HaNavi is really a malach who's just in Shemayim, then he's going to come down as Mashiach, you're right. we can't necessarily trust Eliyahu HaNavi in every single generation. But if we hold that Eliyahu HaNavi is everywhere, every single year, the Koshel Eliyahu at the Seder, and the Bris, the Kiseh Shel Eliyahu, and really Eliyahu HaNavi is just always been in every generation, and he understands the challenges of every single generation, then maybe it could be that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to paskin everything. Totally unrelated to anything. If you need to forget something from tonight, forget that. But how do I even get to that? Right, anyway. Tishbe Adar, right, okay, right. Because Mashiach's a great teacher. Mashiach's a great teacher. Right, never know where we go. Mashiach is a great teacher. And then Shema Kolenu, again, big question over there. We're not going to get into that tonight. But Shema Kolenu might be about the Beis HaMikdash specifically. Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about that another time. But it sounds like, again, it's broken up in this way. So we start out the individual, spiritual, and then physical. And then we go to the national, physical, and then spiritual. Now, why would we switch it around? Why would we switch from individual? We're kind of going A, B, B, A, right? We're going individual, spiritual, and then physical. Then national, physical, then spiritual. Why would we go like that? And the answer seems to be that when we're dealing with individuals, our natural tendencies are not to be always so spiritual. So we need to ask for more of a push in the spiritual. Whereas nationally, we're always asking for the whole system to be able to stay on track. Where spiritual is what we know. So we're trying to push that to stay on track. So that's why we would start with the national physical before we need to get to the spiritual. So it's just interesting to break it up and to kind of see. Now, why would Chazal do this? Why would the Anshei Knesset HaGedulah do this? It comes out that everything is really in sections of three. That the 12 brachos are not 12 brachos. They're really four sections of three brachos. Now, why would they want to do this? This makes a lot of sense. Because you look at the Shevach, the first three brachos, and you have the last three brachos. So they want to keep things in groups of three. Why else would they want to keep things in groups of three? Because we have this concept known as Ke'en De'oraisa Tikkun. When the Rabbanon make Gezeros, when they make different Takanas and Dinei De'Rabbanon that we deal with, they try to make it patterned after the Torah and Torah law. So where do we ever have a bracha in the Torah? It's not so often. Where do we have brachos in the Torah? Benching. Benching is one. So we have benching, which is interesting. There's like three brachos, maybe midoraisa when it comes to benching, but there's a more explicit place where the words are actually written, and that is Birchas Kohanim. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yair Hashem panav elecha v'yuchanan. How many brachos? Three. When we're trying to make groups of brachos, we try to stick to threes. Rosh Hashanah talks about this all the time. Ke'in deoraisa tikkun. That's the way it's supposed to be. So again, just to kind of break down the Shemona Esrei, I never thought of things in this way. We have all the bakashos, all groups of three. And again, how many of the things that we are asking for in Shemona Esrei are things that I would have thought of on my own to go ahead and ask for? Not necessarily so simple. It's not always so easy to say that that would necessarily align. But again, Hashem and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in this situation are trying to realign or show us what's important, what we're supposed to be thinking about. 6 out of 12 are referring to us as a nation. It's good muster. It's good to think about. Now, even our individual requests, we say with an u at the end, like Rifa'enu, Barich Aleinu, Slach Lanu, why? Okay, because that's all of the individuals. We want that for everybody, every individual in Klal Yisrael, including ourselves. So it's important to, though, recognize that's not a national request. That's more of a personal request, an individual request, but it's still certainly something to think about. Fine. Now let's get into the Bakasho. So the first one is understanding. If you look at the reference sheet. Understanding. This is Atachonin. I should really have a sitter up here too. Atachonin le'adam da'as umilamid le'enosh bina. Right, so what we say over here, let's do some article translation before anything else, because again, remember, we need to understand what we're saying before anything else. That you graciously endow man with wisdom and teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and discernment. Baruch Atah Hashem, gracious giver of wisdom. That is Atachonin Le'adam Das. Now, it's very interesting. This is the first of the Bakashos, but this is also the only one of the Bakashos, the only one of the requests that we have of Hashem that doesn't start with a request. Meaning everything else is Hashivenu Avinu, meaning we're asking in the first word already, Hashivenu. We don't waste any time. Selach Lanu, Re'eva Anyenu, Rifa'enu, Baruch Aleinu. Here we kind of give a little bit more of a Shevach before we get into the actual bracha. And the reason seems to be, the Mefarshim point out, is because we're trying to transition slowly into the Bakashos. Even though we finished Hakel HaKadosh, we finished the first three brachos, we're still trying to go ahead and go slowly into the actual bakashas. We want to stay respectful. Again, even though God does not need our praise, we still want to stay respectful in any way, shape, or form that we can. Now, it's important to recognize also that on Shabbos, we don't have this whole section, right? Why? Because on Shabbos, we're not supposed to have bakashos. That's a very strange thing. It's a very difficult thing to understand. How do we say the Misha Berach L'Cholim? How do we say all these other Misha Berach? So we say Shabbos, Him Yil Zofer, Fuah Krova Lavo. We acknowledge that at Shabbos, we're not really supposed to. What does it mean not to have bakashos on Shabbos? So the simple explanation is that Shabbos is a time for joy. Shabbos is a time for simcha, for relaxing, oneg, kavod. We're not supposed to be thinking about our daily stresses during that time, so we don't want to bring that up. So what should we be thinking in our Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos? There are a lot of things to think about on Shabbos. I remember there was once a question-answer with Rabbi Sobolovsky, and Rabbi Sobolovsky was asked, how can we make Shabbos more meaningful? And he said something very simple yet very profound, which is, daven for it. During our tefillah on Shabbos, we can daven that we can tap into whatever Shabbos is supposed to feel like. We know, we hear, me'ein olam haba, this, that. And it's true. Even just being able to put away our phones for 25 hours is an unbelievable thing. But being able to go ahead and tap into that is something we can daven for, and we should daven for. Can you imagine how awesome that must feel for Hashem? Imagine the nachas we're giving Hashem if we're asking that we can tap into what Shabbos is supposed to feel like. An unbelievable opportunity. But the Mefarshim point out that even though we're not supposed to ask for requests on a normal way, when it comes to atachonin le'adam das, we are allowed to ask for this type of stuff because spiritual requests you are allowed to ask for on Shabbos. Now, even just the concept of having a spiritual request is also something which would give Hashem a lot of nachas, that we want to get close to Him. Davening to be close, that's an unbelievable thing. I don't know about you people. The reason why I say that, you'll see in a second. I don't know about all of you, but there have been a few times that maybe you have noticed me, that sometimes Shabbos Mincha, let's say, I'll give a little Salach Lanu and wake myself up a little bit. No? No one ever? Anyone ever have that? Good. No, I hope no one ever had that. But point is, what's the halacha, though? We should know this in that situation. Let's say you did start a bracha. Let's say you started Atachonein L'Adam Das, Mel Mein L'Adam Shminan, and you're like, oh wait, it's Shabbos, I'm not supposed to be saying that. It's Atachidashta, or it's Yismach Moshe. So what do? Finish the bracha, and then go back into Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei. But interesting. But again, you're allowed to go and ask for spiritual requests. So we ask over here with a bit of a shevach for somewhat of a transition, and then we go into the bracha itself. Now, there's so many details to this bracha. The Mefarshim point out that this bracha is so crucial because any decision that we make in our lives comes from this bracha. When we're davening, we can daven that we should make the right decisions, that our children should make the right decisions, that we should be able to attach to the right things, we should be able to understand things. This is so fundamental, and this is the first thing. Chazal are teaching us, again, the order of what things are supposed to be important to us, and this is number one. Because being able to understand Torah, number one, life, people, there's so much that we have to be able to understand. This is what it is that we are trying to tap into. Why is this the first bracha? So, the Torah points out, interestingly, the Torah says that if you look, at least in the Ashkenazic version of the bracha, there are 17 words in this bracha. Tov b'gematria is 17. And we want to specifically have 17 because ain't tov ela Torah. Being able to understand the Torah, being able to understand the wisdom of God, that is the ultimate goodness, and that's what we're trying to tap into. And this is echoed in the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says, yagata umatzasa. That if someone tells you they didn't work hard and yet they were able to attain all this Torah knowledge, don't believe them. If someone says they worked so hard and they did it on their own, still, yagata umatzasa. It has to be a present from Hashem. We put in our work. We try our best to understand. Ultimately, it's a gift from God, whether we're able to go ahead and understand or not. Now, we also know that there's something else which is very interesting about this bracha, that on Motzei Shabbos, what's added? We have Havdalah in Chonein Hadas. Why do we have Havdalah here? So some say it's because it's the first bracha, so we got to get it in when we got to get it in. But others explain that, no, it's much deeper than that. We need the Das, we need the wisdom, the knowledge to be able to understand the separation between Shabbos and Chol, to be able to compartmentalize our lives. That takes a lot of Das and Bina. That takes a lot of knowledge, and we have to be able to go ahead and internalize all of that. Then we say, what's the difference between all of these words? In English again, what's the difference between wisdom, insight, and discernment? So some say Bina is being able to understand one thing within another thing. Everyone says that women have Bina Yisera, they're able to just see the bigger picture, which is why you didn't all go with the Egel HaZahav. You're able to take a step back. You're able to see things for what they're supposed to be. way to be. But there's an important message in there. Bina, Das, there's all different types of knowledge that we're supposed to go ahead and have with us at all times. And when we have this proper Das, when we have this proper understanding of life, then it guides us as to, again, what we're supposed to be thinking about, which leads us into the next bracha of tshuva, because that's who we really are. The Gemara Nida teaches us that the baby in the womb learns kol ha'Torah kula, gets hit on the lip, and all of a sudden they forget everything. Why? What's the purpose if we're going to forget everything? Says Rav Soloveitchik in his classic explanation, because every single one of us has that in us. That's who we are. That's what we're trying to reconnect to. We want to be our true selves. So we say, Ashivenu avinu asorasecha. We transition from Das into that bracha to get back to who we truly are. Tshuva is so powerful. Created even before the creation of the world, what we have the ability to tap into is unreal. It's actually unheard of. Imagine, you know, that you go up to Shemayim after 120 and they say that there's going to be the video camera, the videotape replay, where you're going to be watching everything that happened, and then the thoughts that you've had while you were doing all these actions are going to come up on the side. Some say Gehenim is having to watch it near the people that you're interacting with. It's a lot. It's tough. But imagine, you remember this day. Oh my God, I woke up in such a bad mood that day. Yikes. This is not going to be good. And all of a sudden, instead of you throwing a fit at something just because you were upset, you talked so nicely. You're like, wait a minute. You look to the Malach in the background. You pull Gavriel aside and say, I don't think it happened that way. Not how I remember it. No, you did tshuva. Tshuva, we can turn it into zechuyos. It's not just that we erase it. We are nasek kizechuyos. Now, we can't just go and say, okay, I'm going to go have a good time now, and eventually I'll do tshuva. That's not allowed. But we all know that we are human. We fall, we slip, we trip. It happens. And we can turn them mamish into zechuyos. The videotape can and will be changed. This is an unbelievable opportunity that we have. How powerful is this? The Gemara in Kiddushin teaches us that. Imagine someone, man goes over to a woman and says, Hare amikudesh aslid, almenas, then I'm a tzaddik gamor. Come marry me on condition that I am a complete tzaddik. And we're dealing with someone who is not a complete tzaddik. Still, it's going to work because just a thought of tshuva, the fact that you want to get to that level, that can create a situation of tzaddik gamor. This is a major thing to remember. Now, in this bracha of Hashivenu avinu asorasecha, there are 15 words, which they point out, 15 is like beyond the depth. That's why there's 15 Shir HaMaloses in Tehillim, because it goes all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. The special number 15 represents going a little bit more beyond. For more on that, speak to Rav Chesky Schreier. He'll definitely have a lot more on 15. He'll definitely have a lot more on that. But Hashivenu means that we're going back to who and to what we are supposed to be. And then we say, V'karvenu malkinu l'avodasecha, V'karvenu sin. In general, what it does for us, it distances us from Hashem. When we're more distant from Hashem, then it becomes more difficult to see Hashem in our lives, to feel Hashem in our lives, and naturally we're going to sin more. That's what Avera Goreres Avera is. Because when we sin, we put ourselves down a tough trajectory, a tough path, because we get low on ourselves, we get down on ourselves, and when we start feeling bad, we start acting bad. When you feel small, you act small. That's the whole episode of the Meraglim. The Meraglim went. These were the golem of Jewish people at the time. But they felt like insects because they felt so small, and they were jealous and they were scared and they were nervous and they didn't have proper bitachon. When you feel small, you act small. And what we're asking is, v'karvenu malkinu, Hashem, bring us closer that we won't have to have this feeling of distance from you. And then we say, b'tshuva shalema. We're asking for a complete and total erasure of everything that has happened. We want to come back completely full, and only a Hashem is able to go ahead and do this. Now, I want to take a minute to go into a bit of a different direction within this bracha to analyze something else, and it might bring out a fascinating other idea. So again, if we look at this bracha, Hashivenu avinu l'sorasecha, v'karvenu malkenu la'avodasecha, that we ask to return avinu and malkenu. Right? We say this all the time, Yom Narayim, fast days, avinu malkenu. Two totally different ways of relating to Hashem. So we have Avinu, our father, and Malkenu, our ruler. So when we're talking about our father, we say, Hashem, return us Avinu l'torasecha, to your Torah, and Malkenu l'avodasecha, to your davening, to your karbanos, whatever else it may be. Why specifically, when we talk about the Torah, does it have to be Avinu? Why not Malkenu l'torasecha? Why does it have to be Avinu l'sorasecha? What are we supposed to gain from that? Question number two. on Rosh Hashanah, we have the shofar blowing, and after the shofar blowing, we say, Hayom Aras Olam. Today, the world is hanging, and we're going to see, what's the judgment going to be? And what do we say? Im kivanim, rachmenu kirachim aval banim. If we are like children to you, then have mercy like a parent has mercy on their child. But, v'im ka'avadim, if we are like servants to you, then, einenu l'cha tuluyot. Then we're looking to you. We're totally just looking up. Until, right, achetachamenu, ayom kadosh. So I understand. Avinu, I understand kirachim aval banim. So I understand if we are like banim to you, then treat us like children. But im ka'avadim, then look up. Don't children look up to their parents also? So why would it not be, even if we are like banim, we look up to you. We're totally dependent on you. It doesn't matter whether it's av, whether we're children of God, or whether we're servants of God. We always look up to God. So in order to understand this, we got to take a step back and have a few other facts in our heads. Number one, there is a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Vav has a classic machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda as to what our relationship is with God. Says Rebbe Meir, no matter what happens, no matter how far we fall, no matter how far we stray, doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, we are always banim lamakum. We are always children to Hashem no matter what. Comes Rebbe Yehuda and says, I don't know about that. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then we are children to Hashem. But if not, then we are servants to Hashem. This is a big machlokas, Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. Keep that in the back burner. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Simon Kuf Ayin Hey tells us that there's a halacha called Dina de Bar Metzra. What does that mean, Dina de Bar Metzra? Dina de Bar Metzra means, let's say you are selling your property, you're moving out. So what do you have to do, lahalacha? Who do you offer it to first? Your neighbor. You're supposed to offer your neighbor the opportunity to buy your house before anybody else. This is what's known again as Dina de Bar Metzra. However, there's an exception to this rule, says the Shulchan Aruch, which is what? Let's say it's a parent. Let's say you're selling a parent's property. You offer it to your siblings first. Family is different when it comes to this halacha of Dina de Bar Metzra. Now, let's start to answer our questions. Rav Moshe Bick explains that when the Jewish people were getting the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. Anyone here ever heard the Rabbi Ephraim Waxman song? Where Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an amazing scene. Just try to picture it. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, and the Malachim are all really upset. Really? God, you're gonna give the Torah to these people? Are you kidding? Have you not watched everything that's led up until this point? The complaining and the Mitzrayim experience, you're going to give the Torah to them? And what does God say back? God says, Moshe, give a defense. Let's see what you got. So Moshe grabs onto the Kisei HaKavod, and Moshe says, as Rabbi Waxman likes to sing, Malachim, Malachim, have you ever had a heart filled with kinna? Ay, Malachim, Malachim, have your insides ever burned with sinna? Moshe basically says, have you experienced the Yetzihara? You Malachim don't know what it's like. You don't need the Torah. We think that our failures, our slips are what keep us away from God. It's the opposite. It's what got us the Torah. But comes the other Medrash and says that after Moshe Rabbeinu gave a pretty good claim and God was ready to send him down with the Torah, the Malachim, no, hold on. Hold on. And the Malachim went over and said, wait a minute, there's a halacha. The halacha tells us, as we just mentioned, Dina de Bar Metzra. If you're going to give away and sell something valuable, you have to offer it to your neighbors first. God, we're up here in Shemayim with you. We are your neighbors. So you have to go and give it to us. Can't give it to the humans. Can't give it to them. So what's the answer? Oh, that's true if we were just neighbors and if this was just a regular person. But we're not. And this is why the Mishnah in Avos tells us in Perek Gimel, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Lebanim Lamakum. How precious are the Jews that they are called children? Chavivin Yisrael Shenitin Lahem Klechemda. And how lucky and precious are the Jews that they were able to receive the precious gift of the Torah, because they're directly connected. If not for the fact that we were Banim Lamakum, then we never would have been able to get the Torah. So what we see from here is the only reason we were able to get the Torah is because Hashem is Avinu. So now, Hashivenu Avinu v'sorasecha. It only makes sense to say Avinu when talking about the Torah. Malkeinu la'avodasecha could make sense anyway. But it needs to say Hashivenu Avinu v'sorasecha. Now, we're going to take this to the next level. It's going to get crazy. Hold on. Says the Satmar Rebbe something unbelievable. Says the Satmar Rebbe, let's look at a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara in Erevin says, remember we had that machlokes between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir. What did Rebbe Meir say? We're always children to Hashem. And what Rebbe Yehuda say? When we're good, then yeah, but when not, then no. Comes the Gemara in Erevin and says, talking in general, when would we paskin like Rebbe Meir and when would we not paskin like Rebbe Meir? See, Rebbe Meir was an unbelievable character, an unbelievable person in our history. Says the Gemara, it's revealed before who he who says that the world shall be, i.e. Hashem, she'ein bedoro shel Rebbe Meir kimoso. No one is like Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is unmatched in his generation. Oh, if that's true, if that's true, then why do we not always paskin like Rebbe Meir? The Gemara in Erevin is going through the klolei hapsak, who we hold like in certain types of situations when there's a machlokas between this person and that person. So if Rebbe Meir is really head and shoulders above everybody else, why do we not paskin like him? Says the Gemara, shelo yachlu chavir v'lamud al sofdeya, because he's too great. People can't really understand. They just can't get all of what Rebbe Meir is trying to say, so we can't paskin like him. The Torah was given to humans, as we said. We have to understand what's happening. When Rebbe Meir talks, no one knows what's going on. You know, there are certain people, when you go to their shir, you just know something awesome's happening, but you just don't know what it is. This is amazing. I always say, I'm very lucky that, I tell this all the time, I'm very lucky that if I'm understanding something, I think everyone will get it. It might take me a little time to be able to get it to a point where I can just say it over, but I don't have that challenge. Like, I'm not going to give names, but I was blessed without that challenge. So comes the Gemara again and says, we would paskin like Rebbe Meir, but we can't understand it. Now let's go back to Rosh Hashanah davening. Hayom hara solam. So im kivanim, if we are really truly children to Hashem, like Rebbe Meir says, rachmenu kirachim avabanim, then have mercy on us like a parent would have mercy on a child. Makes perfect sense. But v'im ka'avadim, meaning, if you're trying to tell me that we hold like Rebbe Yehuda, einenu l'chasiluyos, we look up to you. Why are we looking up? Because you're right, in this world, Rebbe Meir is too lofty, we can't understand what he's saying. But up there in the heavens, God can understand what Rebbe Meir is saying. So if we don't paskin like Rebbe Meir in this world, in that world, we definitely paskin like Rebbe Meir. So we're hedging our bets, we're geniuses. If we're like children, Hashem, treat us like children. If we're like servants, then God, we're going to go like with you. We're going to paskin like Rebbe Meir in Shemayim and treat us like children anyway. It's a deal with your parent. You never go wrong. If we're like children, treat us like children. If we're like slaves, also treat us like children. Oh, totally new understanding. And with this, we can understand something else that we come up with maybe once in a while. Someone loses something. They can't find it. What do? Give tzedakah, Rebbe Meir Balanes. Why Rebbe Meir? What does Rebbe Meir have to do with lost objects? Now you give tzedakah. Something about tzedakah, Rebbe Meir is connected to tzedakah. Where does this come from? So it comes from a Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Yud. The Gemara in Bava Basra has a very strange conversation between Rebbe Akiva and Tornus Rufus HaRasha. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashol, Tornus Rufus HaRasha is Rebbe Akiva. So Tornus Rufus goes and asks Rebbe Akiva, Im elokecham oevaniyim, if God really loved poor people, why doesn't he just support them? Pretty basic question, right? If God's able to do anything, and God's able to support anyone, so if God really in fact loves people who don't have much, why doesn't God just support them? So answers Rabbi Akiva, Amar lo, kedei she'nitzol anu bahen medina shel gehenim. So that way we can all, anyone who does have what to give, they're able to be saved from the din shel gehenim. It's an opportunity for people to help one another. That's how Hashem made the world. There are certain people that have more, certain that have less. And that's the way it has to be, so people can go and help each other. So Tornus Rufus says back, no, you're totally missing the point. Let me give you a mushel, says Tornus Rufus. Imagine you had a king. And a king had a servant who disobeyed him and he had to punish that servant. So he sends him out of the palace and he sends him far away. And then the king finds out that someone's supporting this servant who totally betrayed the king behind his back. And someone supporting that person. Now the king finds out that person supporting them, king's going to be mad. King's going to be really upset. So you're going behind God's back. God specifically didn't give that person something, and you're going and giving them what they need. God's going to be upset. So Rabbi Akiva says back, you're right, but there's one point that's missing. Always fine. We can have a king mushel because you want to have a king mushel. I get it. Every mushel's with a king. But let me just shape the mushel a little differently. Imagine you have a king whose son, the prince, has a very high-ranking job in the palace. And for one reason or another, the son makes a mistake. The prince slips up, and he has to be sent away. He has to be excommunicated from the palace. And the king really doesn't want to do this to them. Doesn't want the prince to leave, but he sends him away. And he has to send him to wherever it is, a place which doesn't have the same type of comfort. And he finds out later that there was some person in this other community who went behind the king's back and was supporting his son. How do you think the king's going to feel? Pretty good. So what do we see from this Gemara? Tzedakah only makes sense if we assume that God is our father. If God is a parent to us and we are the children of God, then tzedakah makes sense. Otherwise, tzedakah is offensive. Tzedakah is terrible. Only if we understand, like Rabbi Akiva against Hornus Rufus, that really this is a positive thing, then we can understand it. So Rabbi Meir Balanes, of course we're going to go with Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is tzedakah. Otherwise tzedakah doesn't make any sense. So there's so much there. Hashivenu avinu v'sorasecha. See, the total just opened our eyes to so much. And that's just within three words of a bracha. Karvinu malkinu avodasecha v'achazirinu b'shuva shalema lifanecha. So now, that leads us, what time is it? Okay. That leads us all the way to Selicha. So we go and we ask for this tshuva, and what we're asking is to become close. Ultimately, what we're asking is that Hashem will wipe away all of our sins. So we say, Selach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Forgive us, Hashem, because we have sinned. Mechal lanu makinu ki pashanu. Another word for sin. What's the difference? So what's a chait? A chait is when I do something bishogeg. I'm doing it by accident. Something which you can totally just look over. It was an accident. I didn't even know it was a problem. I didn't even know it was an issue. And then what's a pasha? Salat machalonu makinu ki pashanu. It's when I'm acting rebelliously. I do something on purpose. And now I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I was just in a bad zone there. I got caught up in the wrong thing. I was, wasn't good. So we're asking that Hashem. But notice again, avinu and malkenu. So what are we asking? Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, because a parent, if a kid makes a mistake, you know, you go to parent-teacher conferences, we're still early into parent-teacher conferences, so it's always, hold your breath experience. Parents Hashem should be good. But you always go in, and if they say something that's, okay, no, like, the kid's a good-natured kid, it's just, okay, he didn't know that that was a problem, he didn't know that the other kid didn't want him to hit him, like, how would he know that? There's no way for that. Okay, maybe not that extreme. But the kid's naturally a good. He's a good-natured kid. He made him. He didn't know. You can look over that. We ask Hashem, when it comes to these things that could be looked over, just treat us like a parent. Like, you want to see the good in the kid. You want to see the good things that they're doing. V'karvinu malkenu lavodasecha. I'm sorry. Machalvanu malkenu ki pashanu. But when it comes to these pashanu, when it comes to the egregious type of sins where it's totally rebellious, that takes the power of a king to wipe away. What we're asking is that Hashem, you should be able to go and totally wipe that away as a king who can wipe that away. As a parent, probably again, based on what we just said before, you could probably do the same thing. But here we're saying a bit of a different idea, that Malkenu, treat it like you got a pardon. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It just means to pardon. Does it take it off your record? No, you kind of just, what's the word? Commuted the sentence, so to speak. That we're asking for that. Now, where does this whole idea of slicha come from? This whole idea of slicha, we say constantly in slichos, Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. This concept is brought by the Mefarshim in a major way when it comes to this bracha. They say, that Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, that our words have the ability to bring the slicha, that if we truly have kavana in this bracha, then God will forgive us. It's up to us to want to be forgiven, to actually get us to be forgiven. Each day we have the opportunity, Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, our words can go and bring that upon us. And Rabbi Tzadok takes this even further than you can imagine. We know there's this concept, just like what we said, Mechalonu Malkinu Kipashanu, that even if we're pardoned and God could forgive us, the Gemara still tells us that people need to pay for their sins. And we all sin. So there's what's called Yisurin. Right? Yisurin is where God kind of punishes us. We all ask that the Yisurin should be little. Right? There's the mushel, that's the classic. Imagine that, again, another king, because we'll go with the king. A king has to punish his son again. The king has to punish his son, and the punishment for whatever the son did is that they have to get rolled over the huge bowl with a huge rock. They have to get a huge rock thrown at them, which is basically stoning. It's a death penalty of getting killed with a rock. But the king does not want to kill his son, and he doesn't know what to do. So he thinks of a brilliant chop. What's the chop? The king thinks, you know, I'm going to break ultrasound this rock. I'm going to break it into a million small pieces. And every day I'm going to, you know, throw a little rock at him. And he's, what was that? And he'll continue to go. And then I threw the whole rock at him. But it didn't have to be all at once. Didn't have to go and take the guy out. So every time, says the Gemara, we, you know, our shoelaces come untied. Or we reach into our pocket, we take out the wrong bill. Or we don't open up to the right page and it takes us a few minutes to take that page. We have the ability in our minds to say, to be Yisur and Shalava. Because when we accept it as Yisur and Shalava, then that's what it is. Now, that's not to belittle. People go through much more severe things, and it's very difficult to keep that perspective. We don't always understand. Remember, that's the Yisod of last time. We don't try to understand God. We just know that God has a plan. We say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. We acknowledge that we're just here to do our best and that God ultimately has a bigger plan that we don't always understand. This is actually what the Gemara means when it says someone who's Me'ayim the Tefillah is going to be is going to die. What's ma'ayin the tefillah? So the Gemara teaches us that someone who's waiting for their tefillos to come true all the time, they're going to eventually die out of heartbreak. And the reason is not because tefillah doesn't work, but because it's just that's just not how it works. Tefillah is for the connection. Tefillah is there because we have the ability to speak to God. We don't always know what we are and are not supposed to have. We don't know the way things are supposed to go, certainly. But we also do know that we, with our mindset, can transform certain things that have happened to us into other things. So meaning, again, we take out the wrong bill, we can't find the page, we can't find the place, we're just missing something. Yisur and Shalava, this is an amazing opportunity to go and accept that and to understand that. Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, says Rabbi Tzadok, that through our words, through this bracha, in Shmona Esrei, we can get rid of even needing the Yisurin. Salachti Kidvarecha. Hashem's giving us an amazing gift. We don't even need that. And then we end the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chanun Hamarbe L'Sloach. This word Hamarbe. What does it mean, Hamarbe? Let's see what Artscroll translated as. Who pardons abundantly. What does that mean, abundantly? So, it's always a good question you can ask on Artscroll. What does that mean? But, what does it mean, who pardons abundantly? So, there are a lot of different explanations. One explanation is that there are a lot of ways to get this type of slicha. Tfila, tshuva, tzedakah, mavir nisroa gzera. Right? There's a lot of different ways that we can go and attain this type of slicha. Others explain that, you know, there's this concept called sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, that a tzadik falls seven times and gets up. Says Rav Huttner, it's not that the tzadik happens to fall, it's that the tzadik only became the tzadik because he fell down all those times. Again, we're human, we fall, we slip, God knows that. How we react to our struggles says a lot about us and really determines who we are going to be. They say, I think it was Alexander the Great, used to have a test to see who's going to be the general in his army. And he would put people on a horse that there was no chance they could stay up on. He knew that there was no chance. And the whole test was to see how they're going to react when they fall. Are they just going to walk away and give up and say, oh, I stink? Or are they going to keep fighting? God just wants us to keep fighting. This is why Rabbi Ephraim Waxman likes to talk about surrender. This whole concept of yish, of giving up, makes no sense. When do you surrender? You surrender when there's an entire army surrounding you and you have no chance. It's either you surrender or you're going to die. But if you're still in the fight, of course you don't surrender. By us, with the Yetzirah, by fighting it, that's winning. We're winning by fighting. So to surrender when we're fighting makes no sense because we're winning. The whole point is to battle. The point's not to win. The point is to battle and to push. Of course we're going to fall. Of course we're going to slip. Chanun hamar beleslowach. You know, we might start to get the feeling. I asked for forgiveness from this last week and the week before and the week before and the week before. Yom Kippur, we get this. I get this feeling. I feel like I'm asking sorry for the same things every single year. And the point is, God doesn't laugh. God appreciates it every single time. Chanun hamar beleslowach. He continuously forgives us all the time. We should never think, oh, I messed this one up too many times, that's it. We always have that path back. Chanun hamar beleslowach. And this leads us to the bracha of Geula. Again, we said, Goel Yisrael. Re'eva anyenu v'rivarivenu. Behold our affliction. Take up our grievance and redeem us speedily for your name's sake, for you are a powerful redeemer. Baruch atah Hashem. Redeemer of Israel. Notice it's Goel, not Gaal. The bracha that we make before Shmona Esrei is Gaal, because we're talking about all the past redemptions that Hashem has done, but this is the current redemptions that we are in the middle of. To me, the way I frame this bracha, stress. Everyone's got stress in their lives. Everyone's got things. Re'eva Anyenu is a bracha that's so often overlooked because it's right by Slicha, which we can understand, and then right before Refuah and Parnasa, which we can all understand. But Re'eva Anyenu is a powerful bracha. A bracha about the daily grind, the daily stresses. Some say that this is a bracha about fighting the Yetzirah. It gets us in a bad zone. It gets us in a bad place. We have the ability to fight this. Personal redemptions. Be'anyenu, some say, what's be'anyenu, the affliction? Some say this is referring to mental health. That within ourselves, within others, we know this is a serious thing. Something we need to take very seriously and think about a lot. We need to take care of ourselves. Just like we need to take care of ourselves physically, we need to take care of ourselves mentally as well. And then we say, Ge'alinu mehira l'man shemecha. Purim, right around the corner. The gula happens quick. Yeah, I know that story took a bunch of years. But the actual saving can happen at any time and any second. No matter what it is that you're dealing with, you can be saved like that. Hashem can save Yeshua Hashem keharif ayin. It takes not much time. And then we say the key line, Leman Shemecha, the goal of why we want to be spared from stress, the goal of why we want to be spared from all of our personal afflictions is so that we can glorify your name. We are here for that. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Baruch atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. Again, we ask Hashem to actively redeem us from everyday stress. Now, there is a hint of national geula in there, but not much. But again, these are the personal brachas. So let's just review a little what we did tonight. We started by talking about how you are misader your shevach, and then your mispalo, because the bakashos are actually your tefillah. That's the key. God wants to hear what we have to say. He wants to hear our bakashos, because that means we're including God in our lives. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about whether goyim need to davening. And he brings a pasuk, we know the song, Ki Besi Beis Tefila Yikari Lechol Ha'amim, that it's for every generation, every religion. And he says, but what does that mean that goyim would have to daven? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he explains that when you need something and don't turn to God, that's the ultimate avodah zarah. When we have bakashos, we turn to God, that's what we do. So that's number one. Then we went into breaking down the Shmoneh Esrei. Maybe it's really four sections of three with one add-on, again, for Vogam al-Shinim, talking about just the way it was broken down. Again, these were the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were trying to do. We then got into Bina. We spoke about how in order to ask Hashem for every decision in our lives to be made properly, for us to have the right mindset, for us to have the right perspective, which leads us into tshuva, to return to who we are. We spoke about this idea of being banim la'makum, Rebbe Meir, where we hedge our bets, hayom haras alam im kibanim, if we're like children, then treat us like children. If we're like avadim, still treat us like children, because we are trying to hedge our bet. And then slicha, geula, we should all be zocha to all of these things, and we'll continue with Mirza Shem next week with the rest of the bakashos. Thank you all so much for coming.